You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
If I asked you who was the first black candidate to run for the Democratic Party's nomination for president, who would you say? I feel like many would say Jesse Jackson in 1988. Well, you would be wrong. What if I asked you who was the first woman to run for the Democratic Party's nomination for president? Who would you say? Maybe Hillary Clinton? Possibly Carol Moseley Braun? Well, you would be wrong there too. You see, the first black person and the first woman to run for the Democratic Party's nomination for president is the same person, and her name is Shirley Chisholm, and it happened in 1972.
Those of you who were locked outside of the convention hall in 1968, those of you who can now vote for the first time, those of you who agree with me that the institutions of this country belong to all of the people who inhabit it, those of you who have been neglected, left out, ignored, forgotten, or shunned aside for whatever reason, give me your help at this hour. Join me in an effort to reshape our society and regain control of our destiny as we go down the Chisholm Trail for 1970.
Before her groundbreaking run, Chisholm was the first black woman elected to the United States Congress, serving New York's 12th congressional district from 1969 to 1983. Now, I'm a student of history and I love political history, which might come as a surprise to some of you because I do so much entertainment and I love entertainment, but I started in politics. But I'm sad to admit I didn't know much about Shirley Chisholm until I was an adult. I wasn't taught about her in school, not even during Black History Month. And this makes me angry. What makes me even more mad about this is that I know I'm not alone in this, which is why I'm so grateful for Regina King's new film on Netflix called Shirley, which depicts Shirley's historic 1972 run for president.
I have something I want to tell you. I am running for president.
Of the United States? Holy.
I'm paving the road for a lot of other people looking like me to get elected.
Brooklyn's first black representative.
You're about to make history.
You want to be president? You ain't no man.
Maybe we should find your mother.
All you got is your one vote.
You sound just like every other politician.
Do I look like every other politician?
Truly, you can't win.
And why can't I win? I have an opportunity to make a difference.
This isn't a campaign. It's a joke. The only thing anybody's going to remember is that there were a bunch of black folks who made fools of themselves.
See, too much suffering. And I don't know how to not try. I think I'm special. I just want to remind people what's possible.
We need something that's going to make some noise.
The Black Panthers and Shirley Chisholm. It's like thunder and lightning. I'm going to force all the politicians to be held accountable.
You gonna do all that? School teacher from Brooklyn.
Harriet was just a slave. Rosa was just a domestic. What is it you do for a living again?
As you'll hear in our conversation, we talked about that forgotten legacy of Shirley Chisholm, how even members of her own communities looked past her, didn't take her seriously. But all the while, she was out there fighting the good fight, taking bold chances, and creating lasting changes and a legacy for so many people to follow in her footsteps. From Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton. So let's get to it. Grab a snack, because I'll be right back with Regina King.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous. Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I have to say, I have been a massive fan of yours for so long that as soon as I saw this film, I was like, this is it. I have to speak with her about this. This is my moment to speak with Regina.
Oh, wow. That is so, so kind. You know, this has been a labor of love. You know, my sister and I have been at this for close to 15 years now, bringing a slice of Shirley's life story to life. So to hear that you received it well, it really means a lot.
And I also, just speaking of Shirley specifically, I used to work in politics. I now work in entertainment, but I used to work in politics. And I remember I was working for a New York sort of congressman who was running for mayor in New York. And I would see all these things in the Capitol about Shirley. And I, as someone who studied political science, knew very little about who she was. And it actually kind of made me angry that I was never taught who really Shirley Chisholm was. Like, she's so important to political history. How was I never taught that part of political history? And I wanted to know what, A, were you also not taught about Shirley Chisholm as a child? And B, when did you first become aware of who Shirley is?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I feel like, and it's interesting that we're having this conversation in the tail end of Black History Month, mm-hmm. because if you were lucky enough that your teacher chose Shirley Chisholm as part of the Black History curriculum, you know about her.
Yeah.
If you weren't lucky enough to, you didn't. And the interesting thing is, you know, talking to friends that grew up in New York versus me growing up in L.A., the people that were chosen to speak about during Black History Month are different because of the region. So I didn't learn anything at all about Marcus Garvey during Black History Month, but all my New York friends did. And you would think that more of them would have learned about Shirley Chisholm, especially with her roots being from Brooklyn and Barbados, you know, and having such a big Caribbean culture. And I'm sure a lot of the schools in New York may have just been her school in particular. Actually, no, I got that wrong. They did learn about Shirley Chisholm. They didn't learn about Charles Drew, where we did here on the East Coast. So I think that that has something to do with it. But her becoming on my radar was probably in about, you know, the third grade during Black History Month. And then my mother being a teacher, then she obviously just elaborated and educated us on her a little bit more. And I think because, you know, I'm born on the same day as Dr. King. So our mother also felt this need to show your ancestors who have done these amazing things that are the reason you have the opportunity to dream without boundaries, to see the possibilities. Mm-hmm. So yes, that was a long way to answer that third or fourth grade is when Shirley first came on my radar. But it was, I guess, cut to now, until we started, hopefully, once this film goes out, no one will not know who Shirley is.
Yeah.
But still, there's still people, even Black people, who did not know who Shirley was when we started, you know, shooting the film, had never heard the name.
Yeah. Which speaks to, I think, and that was my next question, actually, is that now, of course, I know exactly who she is and I'm obsessed with her. And I think, and I get so angry when other people don't know more about her, because I think it speaks to a lot of what she spoke about during her time, that, you know, even within the marginalized experience of the Black experience, Black women are still not heard oftentimes, not seen, not recognized for their work. And she was living that in her time, and she was speaking truth to it in her time. And even now, post, you know, after many years after her amazing run for president and everything she did in Congress and everything she did for her communities, we still aren't speaking about her. We aren't speaking about what she did. We're literally not doing the exact thing she was telling us we weren't doing back then.
Exactly. And not only are we not doing it in within the political world or structure, mm-hmm. it's not happening. You know, the things that she had gotten done, you know, crossing the, you know, shaking hands across the party lines and coming together with, you know, other Congress people.
Yeah. Yes, you know? Exactly. Yes.
And making really huge changes, wage changes for people, Latino and mm-hmm. Black people. And that's not happening. You know, it is not, there's still like this strong divide. I just, everything. And I continued to learn so much as we were doing the research once we said, you know, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. And so over this 15-year journey, I've learned so much more about her and understanding the things that were catalysts to make her say, you know what, I can be a catalyst for change, you know?
And also just, I mean, I feel like I always go into movies like this and I get very excited because, you know, I love her history, I love her legacy, but I also love you. So it's sort of this marriage of like all of these different wonderful things. And I'm always looking for the thing that surprises me. And oftentimes I leave like I feeling like I didn't learn often enough about somebody. But with this film, I definitely left feeling like I didn't know that. I didn't know this part. I didn't know that her husband was so amazing in everything that he was doing. I didn't know that she met with George Wallace. I had no idea, which is mind blowing to me. I wanted to know what surprised you when you really delved in and started doing this project. Did you learn anything new about Shirley that maybe you hadn't known over the 15 years you were trying to get this off its feet?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all assume that just by the way she carries herself, that this is a, and I'm doing air quotes, strong woman. But there's a lot that comes with being a strong, you know, human being. You know, people tend to, you know, because you're strong, oh, you don't have any things that are happening in your life that feel like they're going to break you. And she, when she was running for Congress, she actually had just come in the middle of her run, had to have a tumor removed, and still got up out of that hospital bed and continued that campaign and actually won. And that's huge.
Yeah.
And we never knew that, you know, and everything that her opponent was doing, all of the disparaging things that he was saying to discredit her, that she could have the strength to represent them, to represent that district, to hold that seat. But not once did she say in any of her campaigning that I'm just, you know, fresh off of surgery and losing my life almost, you know, because it means this much to me, because the community means this much to me, because our kids dying in war that they don't even know why they're killing these people. They have no understanding of why we're even in Vietnam, why they're being sent there. It means that much to me.
Yeah.
And so, I thought that was a really, for me, it was a great piece of information for the character study.
Yeah.
Because it just allowed me to remember that this is me as Shirley, as I'm out here campaigning, I do have weight on me, but it's not going to color how I message.
Yeah.
you know, my messaging in any way. And that was one thing that was like, wow, to me. And I didn't know, I learned during my research just about her relationship with her father and the tense relationship between her and her sisters and her mother. And, you know, just, you know, we all have our things, right? That's going on. But yet we still find a way to, you know, get on the other side or push through. And I just really hope that one of the things that people take away is just the humanity of Shirley, you know, that she's just not this cyborg that knows how to speak really loud and isn't afraid to stand up to people.
Yeah.
But that this woman does go home and she is tired and her shoulders do drop. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people can relate to that.
Yeah. And also too, I mean, what I love about this is that it's such a unique and interesting, I think of the same thing with Coleman Domingo and Rustin, where these are slices of history. And, you know, in the categories on Netflix and other places, it, you know, of course, for Black History Month, it says Black History and all these things. But to me, I'm like, as a history buff, I'm like, no, this is American history. This is our history. And we should be, every class should be studying this. And
these, Alan, you are speaking my, I have been saying that for some time about, you know, anything that happens to be, you know, where it is a Black person in the center of it, but the ripple effect and everything that surrounded that Black person has to do with America.
Yeah.
Not, you know, being a Black American, you know.
Yeah. And she defined so much of that era, that Vietnam, Nixon, 1972 era. In a lot of ways, I felt she defined sort of the anti-war movement, but also too the complexities with her with the women's rights movement and how even she was not recognized within that movement and they did not support her in the way that she felt she deserved because of everything she had done for them. And so she really, in a lot of ways, I mean, is the epitome of sort of the American experience in the early 70s and the frustrations we were having. And this film really shows that, I think. And she, you through your performance, really showed how hard it must have been for her.
Yeah, to be a lone wolf.
Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, you know, a lone wolf. And as you pointed out, you know, it was very disappointing, heartbreaking for her at times. And while, of course, I didn't get the opportunity, I've never gotten the opportunity to meet Shirley Chisholm. I do feel like I was lucky enough to have deep conversations with her goddaughter. And that definitely gave me a lot of the colors that helped me or reminded me that she is a woman first, you know, that she is a daughter. She is a wife, you know, that she is those things that we all, you know, no matter what color you are, you can relate to being a daughter if you're a woman, no matter what. Part of me is you hear me taking a pause because I'm like, I don't want to throw out any spoilers because we have just like a lot of nuance.
Yeah.
A moment. So a part in the movie jumped out at me and I was like, oh, yeah, no, you need to hold on to that.
Well, and also, I mean, that just speaks to, and that was one of my next questions, is that now I went in knowing you, of course, with this because, I mean, you are Shirley in this, but the level of talent in this, I mean, this film is like swimming with Oscar people. It is just insane. Like John Ridley, I mean, Terrence Howard, Lucas Hedges, like so many interesting. I was just very surprised by the level of talent because oftentimes I'm like, well, let Regina go. I mean, she doesn't need anyone else talented. Like, let her fly. But no, you surrounded yourself with some really amazing people. What was that like to have that kind of, I mean, that must have been fun to play with that many creative, awesomely talented people.
I got to tell you, just as an actor, every single person in this film, I was already a fan of before. Some of them I'd worked with prior to, and to be able to, because we, you know, we were making this film for $2, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, and that they would come on board, you know, and knowing that this is a small film, knowing that this is a streamer film, and want to come on board to be a part of as we say, play in the sandbox, but because they knew how important this story was, is just kind of mind blowing to be able to, because so often when you're producing or directing or and directing a project in the beginning stages, you have this wish list of actors that you want to go out to. And most of the times you're lucky if you get one of them.
Yeah.
Either you end up casting, auditioning some, or you have to go to another actor because for whatever reasons that it may be that actor, from that they just aren't interested to they're not available. You know, there's a plethora of reasons why the initial choice may not end up being the choice. But to have like Lucas Hedges was always who we talked about, who was always like, you know, on our wall to say yes. Yeah. And you, we didn't even know each other, was like, and his Robert is just so precious. And the relationship between Robert and Shirley, I think is a really powerful one. You know, to Lance Reddick, you know, was always our first choice. And his work is absolutely beautiful. And I know that he is just his spirit is beaming, and I believe that, you know, there's some moments in the film where his character Mac is looking at Shirley, and Lance, in some of those moments, I got emotional because it was like Shirley's team,
yeah.
You know, and I just felt in that moment, like that's Mac looking at Shirley, like, yeah. I got you, girl, you know, yeah. And even with and they had a history that was, you know, a rocky at some point. But then they were able to, again, that was me kind of, no spoilers, Eugene, keep it going. And the way, you know, John Ridley wrote the script, you know, he one of the beautiful things about the way John writes is he really leans into subtleties. And nuance moments. So he doesn't like spell it out for you that this happened.
Yeah.
It is for people who actually are leaning in and want to listen to the words and want to take in what the actors are doing. And then they'll catch those.
Yeah.
Those little things, you know.
And I really
Andre
felt
Holland.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone said yes the first time. So it was... Oh,
incredible.
Incredible.
And that's something too. It's so funny that you said the subtleties, because that's one thing that I was noticing, especially in, which I loved. There's a scene between you and I didn't know this was your sister, but I was like, that looks a lot like Regina. And so I had to look it up, and then I was like, oh my God, it is Regina's sister. But like even in those scenes and in little things, I recently spoke with Annette Bening, and she was talking about how, like, one of the things that she loves about film is that, as opposed to stage or anything, or to even television, is that if film gets up in your face and you see, you say so much more without words than you do oftentimes with words. And you can catch these moments that you often don't get in any other slice of art. And this film, and Shirley and your performance, even in that scene with your sister, it's just, there's so much that isn't said that you just immediately know just by her moving the cup forward, or just by, I mean, little things. And you just know there's tension there, there's history there, there's this there, and you don't have to say a word. And I think that's your performance, but it's also John's writing, I think, too.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, you know, and you have to, it's interesting, because in this, and oh, just by the way, just love shout out to Annette Bening. Friends and I, we have Annette Bening moments, just like, you know, but every couple years we're like, okay, it's an Annette Bening praise time.
You'll love then. I told her I was so angry that she's never won an Oscar. And she said, she laughingly was like, oh, I love that you're angry. Stay mad.
Mad, yes. We're right there with you, Al.
Yep. You yes, know, thank you.
You know, we the friends of mine who, I'm thankful that they're not actors, but you know, they every now and then take turns. I'm having a brain fart on the film's name, American
Beauty.
Yes, in the closet. you know, that they have, you know,
the screaming. Annette Bening. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and then even to the point, it's a phrase we've coined. I have my Annette Bening closet moment, you know?
Oh, see, I do it with the wine and glass. I often can't hold a wine and glass without doing and thinking of the scene from The Kids Is All Right, where she's just like angry and I'm just holding the glass. I always do it. It's like a little thing to myself.
Yeah. She's genius, man. Yeah,
truly.
She is genius.
Truly.
One of those that makes you proud to be a part of the thespian community.
Definitely.
But she, it's so true what she's saying, that it's those little subtle things that, you know, you find yourself as an audience member gasping, taking a deep breath, and you hear yourself gasping because they are quiet moments, but they're so loud.
And that's Shirley's life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So much of her, unfortunately, was pushed to the shadows, and we have to really sort of look at her and how she reacted, I think, in those subtle things. And I think the film does a fantastic job of showing that and showing the strength of her in a lot of those ways. But before I let you go, because I have one last question for you, I could not spend this moment with you and not just say how, as like a millennial, you have defined the millennial experience from the beginning of your career, so much throughout all of your career. I feel like I've grown up with you over the course of your entire career.
Wow.
And I want to know how does it feel for you? Because you started as a young actor. I mean, you were a child actor. And how does it feel to sort of have that connection with fans of yours literally over your lifetime? And are you ever like, when you meet a fan, are you like, oh, you're the Jerry Maguire days, or you're the 227 days, or you're the this days? Like, can you tell where we're coming from?
Fully. But a lot of times I get it wrong. You know, like I'll see someone recognizing me and they're coming my way and I'll make an assumption that they're from, you know, a particular era or you're the enemy of the state with your bag. I got it. I know that. And then they'll come up and say, you know, it's just like the most random thing. I love Boondocks. And I'll be like, but you look like you like knit with my grandmother. How do you love Boondocks? You know? it's really cool. It's really great. It's great that, you know, I think some of it also is, you know, because we, you know, as you said, you know, being on the last of the millennials, you know, you were one of the people that actually have pictures that are on actual paper that your parents developed at the photo lab
at Walgreens,
at the photo mat. You know, you actually know and used a CD. So you've gotten an opportunity to see TV go from just being TV and some cable channels to streamers. Mm-hmm. So you got to see that change. And I think one of the cool things about streaming is that they have kind of revitalized some people's career or have kept people, myself included, you know, in the conversation because a younger audience, like I know that, you know, I mean, the amount of young girls that I get that are, I guess, would be Gen Zers, you know, or the last of, I guess, maybe Gen Xers or whatever, you know, the young Gen Xers or beginning of Gen Zers who know Cinderella's story. Like, oh, my God, you're Rhonda.
Yep.
And I am not thinking about Cinderella. I'm knowing the character now because literally like a 10-year-old when I was walking my dog and she saw me with her mom and she was like, are you Rhonda? And I'm in my head. She can see in my face like, who is Rhonda? You know, is it her babysitter? Like, I don't know. And she's she was like, Cinderella's story. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was my character's name. So it's really cool. You know, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know, I hope it keeps coming.
Oh, it will. And you're right about streamers. I mean, that's the thing. Like, and it gives different voices, different types of exposure in different ways that I think is so, so important. And I'm just so glad that this film is out there and that more people are going to know who Shirley Chisholm is. Really. That's what I'm just most grateful for. So thank you for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. That was by fast.
I know. I like to do them, you know, put them in, get them out.
Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Alan Scott on everything. And leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. And, you know, go to Newsweek.com, follow us on all the socials, and subscribe to my newsletter, For the Culture. It comes out twice a week, and it's a lot of fun. Until then, watch something fun, and have a great day.